Lamb, which of course is a very beautiful picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 15 it says, 7 days shall you eat unleavened bread. Even the first day you shall put away leaven out of your house. And for whosoever eateth leavened bread from the first day until the seventh day, that soul shall be cut off from Israel. So they ate unleavened bread with that Passover. And they had been doing it now for hundreds of years. Ever since that time when God instituted that first Passover, all the way back when they were in the land of Egypt, right? Everybody remembers that. Remember, God's people were enslaved in Egypt. They had been down there for hundreds of years. They cried out to God. God heard their cry, raised up Moses. And Moses is leading them now. And they've gone through those plagues. And it comes down to this last plague, which is the plague of the death of the firstborn. And as that death angel passes through Egypt, if there is not blood applied to the doorpost and the lintel when he comes by, the firstborn of that house dies. And the Israelites, under the instructions from God, kills that Passover lamb, very much a beautiful picture of Christ, takes that blood and puts it on the doorpost and the lintels, that's the side pieces and the top, applies the blood of that lamb on there. When the death angel comes by, they pass over, the death angel passes over that house, does not slay the firstborn in that house. Just like when God the Father sees the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, brethren, he passes over our sins too. They're paid for by the blood of Christ. All right? At that Passover lamb, it tells them exactly what to do with it, when to put it up, what to look for, how it's prepared, how it's to be cooked, how it's to be eaten, and they're to eat it with what? And have the unleavened bread. The Lord Jesus Christ and his disciples had just finished the Passover supper. He took the same unleavened bread and the same wine that they had there and instituted the Lord's Supper with that. That's why today, brethren, the Old Baptist Church uses unleavened bread and wine, not RC's and moon pies. A lot of people think, well, it won't make any difference. Yes, it does. If you're going to worship, God says worship in spirit and truth. A lot of people say, well, just as long as you got the spirit, the rest doesn't matter. Yes, it does. If you don't think that truth matters, and if you don't think the how you do it matters, I'll carry you back to 2 Samuel, which I tried to preach on last Sunday, but everybody remember that story. Remember when David was going to move the Ark of God to Jerusalem? And how did they do it? Did they do it like they were told? You know, it sounds very good, right? Let's move the Ark of God. Let's bring it up to Jerusalem. Build this fancy place. Stick it in there. Sounds like a good idea. But they took it and stuck it on an ox cart. Remember? And Uzzah, if I pronounce it right, if I remember it right, thought the cart was shaken and that the ark of God was going to fall. And he reached up to touch it. It just stuck, you know, stabilize it. Sounded reasonable, didn't it? You know, the ark of God, we don't want that thing falling off the ox cart and hitting the dirt and getting messed up, so let's stabilize it. He struck dead because he didn't do the how. God says that there were rings in the side of that Ark of the Covenant with staves in the side, and the priests were supposed to pick it up and carry it. It wasn't supposed to travel on an ox cart. It matters how, not just what. All right. So a communion service, again, you know, with RCs and moon pies, is not the same thing as one with unleavened bread and wine. All right. The how is very important. So we believe in having these sacraments when we have a communion service here. That's one of those things most assuredly believed among God's people. All right, you got that one? Let's look at maybe one or two more here right quick. See, a lot of people think that the old Baptists just do things because we're just too dumb to figure out any other way to do it. You know, we still have unleavened bread and wine just because we can't figure out there's any substitute. Let me tell you, brother, the old Baptists are a whole lot smarter than a whole lot of other people in the world when it comes to understanding the Bible. All right? And a lot of these folks that's gone off and spent 8 or 10 or 12 years in a theological college, there's some old Baptists with fifth grade educations that can far exceed them in understanding the Bible. All right? Baptism. You know, a lot of people nowadays say, man, y'all are just so out of touch. You don't know what you're doing. Y'all are so confused, you know, baptizing people. Y'all don't understand the way it's supposed to happen. A lot of folks nowadays, probably the biggest religious organization in the world, would be real astounded to see us have a baptizing, because they don't do it that way. And this cup ain't got any water. Let me put some water in here. Right? Now right there is enough water to baptize a whole bunch of people in some places. That's right. In some places, that's plenty of water to baptize a lot of folks. Because all they're going to do is take their finger, stick it in there, flick it in their face, and you're baptized. Right? Or touch it on their forehead, and you're baptized. Or take a little bit and pour it on top of their forehead, and you're baptized. But brethren, when I have the ability to take an individual, a human being, and stick them in that cup of water, I'll use a cup of water to baptize them. Until then, we'll keep doing it like we're doing it. You'll say, well, does it matter? Yes, it matters. There are those things, brethren, that are most assuredly believed by us. And baptism by immersion is one of them. The Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter 3. Of course, there's all kind of conversation about how far he traveled. I don't think that's really relevant. He traveled a long way. All right, whether it's 15 miles, 45 miles, or 52 miles, it's still a long way because he had to walk. Nowadays, you wouldn't get somebody to go 400 yards and get baptized. Hardly. All right. Much less if somebody said, oh, you got to walk down from here to Rural Hall. That's where they're baptizing. Most people say, I don't think so. Not that interesting. But Jesus Christ walked a long way, went to be baptized of John. Let's just come to verse 13, Matthew 3:13. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answering said, suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. Listen. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water. Now anybody in here that thinks very long understands that out of something means you were in it to come out of it. Alright? Out of the water. When Jesus came, was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending upon him like a dove and lighting upon him, and lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Well pleased. We believe in baptism by immersion, again, because of the first instruction, and second, because that instruction gives us a beautiful picture in us. Brother Keith, if I take my finger and stick it in this cup and just flip it on you, that does not give you a picture of the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. No, sir. But if I take an individual or one of these other brethren take an individual and they have them in the water and they're standing there and they lay them back in the water, they are then buried in that water. They appear to have died, buried, and then lifted up, rose again. So baptism is a picture of the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, brother. And when we're baptized, we're saying, that's our confidence, that's our hope, in the death and the burial and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. Jesus came up out of the water. Out of the water. There's another instance, right quick, while we're talking about that. Let's get to that one, maybe, if I can find it. If not, I'll just turn to one in the book of Acts that also comes to mind. It's going to take me longer than I thought because I can't think right now where the verse is. But anyway, Jesus and his disciples comes out to John to be where John is baptizing. And as they do so, it says John was baptizing there because there was much water. Much water. Then here I want to get this one in Acts. I can find this, I think, pretty quick. If I think about that other one before I sit down, that's usually what I'll do is I'll think of it after I sit down. But in Acts chapter 8, if the Lord intended to baptize by sprinkling or pouring a little bit of water, Acts chapter 8 would have been the perfect place to introduce it. All right. In Acts chapter 8, Philip is commanded of God, of the Holy Spirit, to go down and join himself with the chariot of the Ethiopian eunuch. Alright? Let's start at verse 26. Acts 8:26. And the angel of the Lord spoke unto Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, listen, which is desert. Very important aspect, a very important piece of knowledge and understanding what's going to happen in a few minutes. So God sends Philip down there to meet with this Ethiopian eunuch. You remember the story. They ride along. They talk a while. He t- talks about scripture. They discuss that for a while, comes on down. To verse 36, when this Ethiopian eunuch makes this comment, he says in verse 36, as they went on their way, they came to a certain water, and the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" Philip had obviously talked to this and spoke to this man, this brother, about baptism and how it was done. Because I can assure you, traveling from Jerusalem all the way down through the desert, through the wilderness, and back to Ethiopia, this man carried some water on that chariot. He had some water on that wagon or buggy they were riding in, all right? If it would have been okay to sprinkle right there in the middle of the desert, the Lord would have given Philip the authority to take just a little drop out of that water pitcher they had, baptize him, and be on his way. But he had spoken to him of baptism by immersion. He said, "Here is water. What hinders me to be baptized?" And if you go right on down to verse 38, they commanded the chariot to stand still, and they both went down into the water. Brother, he baptized him, just like you and I are baptized today. In the water. In the water. All right? Let me just say this about that very quickly. Sometimes the disciples were baptizing in the river. Here, it was a pool of water, apparently, where they stopped to be baptized at. Sometimes today, some churches say, well, if you're not baptized in a river, then you're not baptized. It didn't say it had to be a river. It didn't say it had to be a pond. It didn't say it had to be a pool. It didn't say it had to be a creek. Down at Abbott's Creek, they used to baptize behind the church house in a creek. But the creek wasn't big enough by itself to normally have a baptizing in. So if there was going to be a baptizing, they had to go down and dam up the creek a little bit. They had to put in some boards and cause the water level to be raised up to have enough water to baptize in. So it doesn't matter if you want to be baptized in a farm pond, surrounded by Holsteins and Jerseys, that's fine. As long as that pond's deep enough to put you under water. If you want to be baptized in the Dan River, that's fine, as long as there's enough water in it. You know, sometimes in the summertime that can be hard to find, but usually you can find a hole washed out where you can get deep enough to do it. Or if you want to dig a hole and concrete it in out here behind the building, that's fine. As long as you got enough water to baptize them in. And you got the right proper candidate, proper administrator, proper mode, baptism by immersion. All right? I'm going to say this and then I'm going to step aside. There's one other thing that I just want to remind you of, but there's probably a couple of dozen more. There's things that are most assuredly believed among us. We believe in the resurrection. We believe in the resurrection.
It's kind of bothers me too, but it's gotten kind of popular now. People don't think that the resurrection is real. A lot of people in the world don't believe that's the case. A lot of people getting carried off into reincarnation or annihilation. Okay, everybody understands reincarnation, right? That means you start off maybe as a petunia, come back as a rose bush, later on you're a chicken, later on might be an eagle, then you're a cow, and then you're a donkey, and after a while you become a human, and then you might be a human long time, and come back 10 or 50 times or whatever it takes, and you get good enough and make it to heaven. That's reincarnation. Annihilation means you live and die and cease to exist, period. That's wrong too. At the instant of death, the soul and spirit go back to God. That's not annihilation. Right? The soul and spirit return them to the God that gave it. And the body goes into the ground awaiting the resurrection. A lot of people said, I can't understand how that can work. I can tell you how. Same power that God used to create the world, he's going to speak and your body's going to come out of the ground. Yeah, that's not hard for God. It's real hard for me, but it ain't no problem for God. God spoke, and all the matter in the universe came into existence. Wasn't hard for God. He created all the stars of the heaven. People are still trying to figure out how many they are. They never will. Every time they come up with a number, a few years later, they got to revise it again. They get better equipment, they can see more. That's like me. When I was about 12 years old, I knew I probably needed glasses, but didn't realize how much I needed them until that doctor put them on. I went outside and I said, "Wow, those trees have got leaves on them." Before, it was just a green blob. All right? Same thing going on nowadays. They build them a telescope, look out there and say, oh, man, we think, you know, and I read this, as late as about 1850, they thought there were about 5,000 stars. You know, now they're in the billions and billions, and they're still counting and finding them. Why? They can see a little better.
God created them all, just poof, they were there. This is 1 Thessalonians 4:13. I would not have you be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them which also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Brethren, the resurrection is real. God paid for this body if I'm his child, and he's going to come back for it. It's going to come out of that ground, Brother Paul, if the Lord tarries till I die. It's going to come out of the ground, and every other grave is going to open, and every place where that body is dead, that there are no grave markers open. It's going to come forth. And body, soul, and spirit are going to be united and meet the Lord in the air, and forever be with the Lord. Brother, those are things that we certainly believe in, we hope in, trust in. And by the power and grace of God, brother, we're going to stand on them and stand in them until the Lord comes again. I hope we're found faithful and true in those things which are certainly believed by God's people today, have been from the very beginning of the church, and by the grace of God, there will be a people somewhere believing them and standing on them when the Lord comes back again. I appreciate your good attention and presence today, and appreciate your prayers, and appreciate each one of you. May God bless you through my prayer. Thank you. Thanks,
brother. Just about time to begin the conference meeting here in a few minutes, but I would like to say a few things, not to add anything to what's already been spoken, because I thoroughly enjoyed it. Trust that you have as well. Stirred up some things in my mind. I was talking with a Hindu once, and she's not a devout Hindu. She was raised in a Hindu family. They believe in what they call karma. They said, you know, what we would say sometimes, what goes around comes around. That's kind of the whole idea. She said that depending on your conduct in this life, depend on what you come back as in the next. And she said, if you're a dog, that's the highest level you reach right before you become a human again. So just want to warn all of you, if you have a dog, you better be nice to him. That's what she said. And you see, the difference between the Church of God and all of the religions of the world is that the Church of God teaches, and in our doctrine, we illustrate how God has reached out to man to do something for him. What you get when you have all the other religions of the world, that's what you get when you have man reaching up to God. Because all of the other religions of the world are based on essentially the same thing, and that is works. They're all based on works. Man has to do something, or there are some kind of conditions attached to what God has already done. But we're living in an age of time when people are prone to run after how they feel more than anything else. And I've said it before, and I hope the Lord blesses me to say it 10,000 times more, that the Word of God is our only source of information that we have from God, as the brother has already very clearly set before us this afternoon. And we would do well as Primitive Baptists if we would stay with the Bible. If we'd stay with the Word of God and stay with what God has revealed to us in His Word. Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's God-breathed, and it's profitable for doctrine. That's what we believe. He's already set before us already some of the things that are most surely believed among us in the Word of God. And you notice everything he went to show what we believe, he got his information from the same place, and that's from the Scriptures. And it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction and for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And then he starts in verse 4, and he makes a comment, and he says, I charge thee therefore. In other words, he's going to add on to what he just said. Because the Word of God is profitable, because the Word of God has been given by inspiration, and because it's profitable for these things, for doctrine, reproof, correction, and instruction in righteousness, I charge thee therefore, because of this, based on this, I charge you to preach the Word. And he goes on to say, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. It says that they would heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And it says that they would turn away their ears from the truth and be turned unto fables. Now, I could stand up here this afternoon, and then I could sit down, and Brother Steve could get up, and then Brother Steve could sit down, and then Brother Tim could stand up and then sit down. We'd go on probably till tomorrow morning, going over a lot of fables and things that are taught out in the religious world as truth. Speaking of the church signs, it reminded me of a few when he mentioned that. We drive by sometimes, and it says, ye must be born again, as if it's a function that God has left up to man to do. We didn't birth ourselves into the world by our free will or any kind of effort of our own. And a child of God will never birth himself into the spiritual realm by his free will or by himself. We were passive when we were born, and we're naturally, and we'll be passive when we die, and when we were born, excuse me, spiritually. It's not according to our free will. We stand in a grocery store line once, and you see them, actually, you can find these books anywhere. It says, How to Be Born Again. And it tells you how you can be born again. But when I go to John chapter 3, which is the source of where that phrase comes from, born again, or one of the most common that's used, where Jesus said, Ye must be born again. And you notice I never find anywhere in John chapter 3 where the Lord ever told Nicodemus, Now this is how you be born again. He just told him, You must be born again. And then Nicodemus, he was thinking naturally, and he said, Well, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter in a second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus says, Marvel not that I said unto thee, You must be born again. He didn't say, Now, no, Nicodemus, you got it all wrong. Here's how it's done. He didn't say that. He said, Marvel not that I said unto thee, Ye must be born again. And he says, For the wind, comparing the Spirit to the wind bloweth where it listeth. The Spirit of God, this is a sovereign work of the Spirit of God. For the wind bloweth where it listeth, or where it wishes. And thou hearest the sound thereof, and canst not tell from whence it cometh, and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. You know, he mentioned the folks who believe that God can't go anywhere unless you carry them. Well, Jesus said here, so is everyone that is born of the Spirit. He never put people into classes and age groups and accountability groups when it came to being born of the Spirit of God. He said, so is everyone that is born of the Spirit of God. So is everyone. Jesus wasn't describing the new birth itself there in that latter part so much as he was describing those who were born of the Spirit of God. It's in this way, and so is everyone that is born of the Spirit of God. I surely am thankful for the meet today, and I thoroughly enjoyed what I have heard. Will give me a lot to think about in the week to come. I heard Elder Sonny Pyle say once, he said, I've seen the attitude among primitive Baptists make a complete turn in my lifetime. He said, when I first started out, he said, the primitive Baptists, he says, most primitive Baptists, they wanted to come in, feel something, and then leave. He wanted somebody to stir up the emotions, and then so we could walk out and leave and go home. He said, but thankfully, and I believe he said this may have been when he was over at High Point, he said, but I have seen that change and flip around 180 degrees. He said, Peter, when he was writing over in his second epistle, he said he was writing them to stir up their pure minds by way of remembrance. And I always have been thankful and appreciated a man of God who would stand up before me and stir up my mind. Give me something to think about, and I surely am thankful for what I've heard today, and certainly should give us all something to think about in the weeks and time to come. This being the day that for the conference meeting, I've never done this before, but I hope my efforts will be sufficient. The first order of business is to call for a written reference.
There's nothing written.
Nothing to say by way of written reference. Call for the peace and fellowship in the church. And, this is not only here, but I usually hear Brother Gunner say, if there is peace and fellowship, let that be manifested by your silence. Okay, and we invite the brothers and sisters of like faith in order to be seated with us in this conference meeting. And the next order of business is to call for miscellaneous business.
He brought this letter here. It says, Martin grew up in the Baptist Church in Martin, Virginia. It's on Chatham Road. Annual meeting, Saturday, June 24th, 2006, 10 a.m. and 2 p.m. I guess that's that evening, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And on Sunday, June 25th, on Sunday, the 2 p.m. service will be afternoon. Among the visiting elders expected are Kenneth Bowles, Donnie Connors, Bob Dickerson, John Draper, Milton Gunner, Tony Parker, and others, please join us. Elder, Pastor Elder Thomas Raper.
Raper,
yes.
It's on Saturday.
Well, it's on Saturday and Sunday. And this will be laid on the table if anybody wants to get a copy of it or copy it down.
Reading of the treasurer's report.
Our balance was $10,417.08. A contribution was $280. A disbursement was $1,195.75. City power radio program $50. And boards and mayors for the ones that put the gutter out there was $84.08. New gutter, downspouts, everything for the building and the dining room, $882.02. Water bill, $1628. Cleaning the church for 2 months, $50. New power, $70.39. The night before, flowers for Sister Ada Brown, funeral, $42.08. And the balance now is $9,555.33.
Publish the doors of the church open at this time for the reception of members if there be any here who would like to unite with the church. They might do so at this time and come forward as we sing the closing hymn. We'll now hear the reading of the minutes.
The Penn Baptist Church of Warcombe met on Saturday, May 20, 2006. After song service, prayer was offered by Elder Tim McGrath, following preaching by Elder Steve Nicholson and Brother Chris Burton. The church went to conference after preaching service. Off a written reference, there was nothing written. Peace and fellowship was called for. Your silence, peace was feared by your silence. Visiting brothers and sisters were invited to sit with the church. This latest meeting was called for. Brother Raymond Bobby, the next third Sunday meeting, Elder Danny Parker will be here with us. And he, also made some other announcements, which you all heard about this Sunday meeting and other meetings. A motion the second was made to take up a love offering of Leone Tunney. I guess I got that right. Anyway, I'll run around and talk about it. And that was okay for the church. Treasurer's report, total balance $9,555.33. The door of the church was closed on reception of members. Brother Chris Burton, moderator, pro tem, Bryce Hill, the senior clerk.
I've heard the reading of the minutes. If there are any additions or anything else, if not, then those are the minutes as they're there.
Thing. Did you say
Nichols or
Nichols?
Nichols or Steve Nichols, whatever.
Okay.
He knows what I'm talking about.
Whatever.
I put it down in the book like it's supposed to be.
Okay, that's good. I will say one thing, if anybody does have anything,
yeah. Chris, thank you, Lord, for himself. It's best to ask in our hope name.